and accomplish that which you send it to do, Lord. Thank you that your word is anointed. I pray that you touch our hearts tonight with your spirit, to that your name will be glorified, your name will be lifted up on high. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I've brought some sweets with, just in case the message is boring. Praise God. Now, sometimes we wonder what God wants us to minister about and what we have to do. And so many times we come up with a title that sounds crazy, but pray that you bear with me tonight. I'd like to speak to you tonight about playing the second fiddle. Our text comes from John chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. John verse 26 to 27 on page 1489 in my Bible. Verse 26 says, "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." You know, the important thing that I want to talk to you about tonight is most people, I think 99% of the people, don't like to play second fiddle. Most vice presidents, most vice leaders, a guy that's the second in charge, even backup quarterfinals, quarterbacks in the rugby, and people that are there that are not very important at that place in the position they are at. And their main idea that they think about is, when will I be the number one guy? When will I be the main character in that game or with that position? In business, so many times people want to become a director, become a manager, and they so many times wonder, when will I get there? And as I sat and I looked at this, I thought back in my life on the mines where one time in the Deelkraal gold mine, we sat for months to plan up the position, to try and create a position for a hostel manager, because we didn't have a hostel manager. And for months we sat every day, hours and hours, planning and planning. And just when we handed it in and we were all waiting, three guys, we were waiting, very excited to think, yeah, you know, one of us are going to become the manager. And they brought the guy from the outside, from one of the other mines, into the hostel. And we were so disappointed because we thought, you know, we were one of the guys. We've done the work. We've done the preparations. Maybe we might have been accepted. And they were so disappointed. And the guys were actually like, they took a dip in their morale. But I praise God that it was just a week after that I got transferred to another mine. Because the guy had to take one of the positions. They couldn't have three supervisors and no manager, so they had to take me away and transfer me to one of the other mines. Some of you might know the term of second fiddle. It comes from the practical, having the best player of each instrument sitting in the first chair position. And I love it when you look at an orchestra. I never knew that, you know, sometimes you hear bells, but you don't understand it. You have the orchestra and you see all the flutes and the violins, and the number one, the most important player with that violin sits in the first chair. Then you have the second chair, and the third chair, and the fourth chair, and they sit right down to the poor guy that sits in the last chair. He's got to play to the best of his abilities. So while the second player might be one of the excellent players, but he's got to be there to uplift the first player, the first violin. So for instance, the best violin plays in the first chair, like I said. And so the second guy plays the second fiddle, like I've mentioned. That is what the fiddle being a slang for the violin. Some people delight it. Some people like to be the assistant guy. the second in charge. Because he loves him, because he's going to uplift the guy that's number one. He's going to uplift the guy that is the most important person in what's going to happen and what the work is all about. And this is the important thing we've got to realize tonight. Even more difficult is playing second fiddle after you have been the first fiddle. The other people, we have been in positions. I myself, I've been a pastor of a church, I've been head of a Bible college, I've been up there before. Now for me to step down and play fourth fiddle or fifth fiddle or sixth fiddle, it's something you've got to adjust to. So if you've been the main character, now you've got to step down and move back for somebody else to come in. It's sometimes difficult. It's not the easy situation because you know I am the man. I am one of the good guys that know how to play it. John the Baptist, when he came onto the scene, he started and he knew he was the guy. God called him to come and prepare the way. He knew that he had a crowd to hear. The people came all from all over Jerusalem, from all over Judea, from all over the areas to the River Jordan. And they heard John the Baptist minister to them. He baptized them. He had a big crowd of people. And he was the only guy that had the ability to minister the word. He preached and he did what he had to do. He led them, he said to them, come, your salvation is coming. The kingdom of God is at hand. Be baptized. And he baptized a lot of people. He was the best preacher in the country. He was a man because he had the people, he had the crowd, he had the excitement, he did the work. And then one day when he stood, he looked up. Jesus appeared. He saw Jesus, and then something happened. Something happened in his life. He realized, I wonder how John felt when he had to step aside for Jesus to come in and be the number one fiddle. He had to play second fiddle because when Jesus was there, Jesus had to do the work. Jesus was there to come, and he realized then in his own life that he was out to appoint his disciples to Jesus. He had to say to his people, don't follow me anymore. I am not important. There is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. There is a man that you have to follow. He has been sent. I have only like a voice crying in the wilderness saying, prepare the way of the Lord. I am only the guy that has been set up there that I have to step aside and get out of the way. You know, no wonder Jesus could say about John, among those born of women, there's none greater than John. From Luke 7:28. What do we think was John's secret? He had to have some secret that he did, something that he did specially that made him important. You see, in order to play second fiddle, you must know yourself. You must know who you are and what you are. You must know what your good points and your bad points are. John's questioners asked him when he was there, he said, if John was the Christ, were you the Christ? Were you Elijah or were you the prophet? The only thing John said, no. And he said, who are you? We want to know. We need to know the answer. Who are you? Because we want to know who you are. And John looked at him. It's easy to know how to answer that question. No, it's not easy. It's not easy to answer that question when you are asked who the man, who's that. We look at a man called Socrates. He suggested that the key to wisdom is to know yourself. John's reply was the first cue, or the first clue, to know what he was able to say. You see, he may play well from the second position of the fiddle. He may play well from the second position knowing that this is what's going to happen. John knew that he was going to play well in the position that he's going to move to now. So what did John say? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Does this answer intrigue you? John, with all his oratorial gifts, he knew how to talk, he knew how to speak, he knew how to minister the word. He had all the gifts and talents that he had that he needed in those days. John had a large following of thousands and thousands of people coming to John. They knew who John the Baptist was. He had an amazing sense of righteousness call of God. He knew that God called him. But simply he said, he didn't say, I am John, I am the man, I am the main peanut in the packet. No. He said, I am the voice calling in the wilderness. I am the voice. John didn't even exalt himself. He said that I am just an instrument in God's hand doing what God wanted me to do. He didn't say, I'm not a man, I'm not a preacher, I'm not the man called of God. But he said, I am a voice. John, when you look at John's history in John, in the book of John, when they talk about John, we find that he lived a strong and independent life. He was not controlled by situations. He was controlled by people. He lived in the wilderness. He didn't live in a nice house or a nice place in the city. He lived in the wilderness. He wore animal skins. When I thought about this guy, what John must have looked like. His beard is long, his hair is long. And he had the accounting of the Nazarene. Way back when we were so young, they had this guy, TV character, a guy with a beard, with a bear, Yuppie Adam. I don't know, the young generation won't know about him. But he had a bush of hair like that and a beard like that. And he had this bear with him all the time. So I thought that John the Baptist must have looked like that guy. And living in the wilderness, he robbed the bees of their honey, and he ate locusts. He preached with fury and with fire and with anointing. He preached and he knew that he called the Israelites to repentance because of the sin that they had against God. Even the powerful government officials like Philip, his brother could not even frighten him. And his life was threatened by Philip because he spoke to him and said, you live in sin. God is going to judge you. He wasn't even frightened by that man. They threatened him with his life. And John the Baptist wasn't even worried. Like I said before, that we find great crowds gathered to hear John preached. He baptized many. And then similar things happened. But when Jesus came into John's life, in John's situation, his circumstances, he knew that he had found the purpose for his life. John was working, he was doing things, but the moment Jesus came on the scene and he had to step back, then John knew, now I realize what my purpose is, what God wanted me to do. He knew that he was the voice preparing the way for the Messiah, for the Lamb of God. For John, there was no greater truth than this for his life. Therefore, he knew why he was alive, and he knew what God's purpose for him in his life was. In order to play second fiddle, second point, you must be willing to lose yourself. You must be willing to give yourself up. So many times we have such an image about ourselves. We have such pride, and we so many times think we're just the man of the moment. But we've got to be willing to lose our life. John could say that he was unworthy to untie the thong of Jesus' sandal. John would later say of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. Let Jesus become better. Let me just step back and move away. Because he is the one that's going to be there. John said he's willing to lose myself in Christ. To lose myself and become nothing, but that Christ can be exalted. Jesus would say that this is the only way to greatness in John 12 verse 24 to 26. John understood that serving Jesus was a way to receive honor from the Father. If we can lose ourselves in Christ, if we can forget about ourselves and what we want to achieve and how we want to do things and lose ourselves in Christ, one day we will stand before God and say, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over little. You've been faithful to my calling. Go into and into your Father's mansion and enjoy life. He was willing to lose himself that he might find himself. If I lose myself in Christ, I will find myself. So many times I think I know myself, but I sometimes think I deceive myself. That there are things in my life that I just push it to the one side. I don't want to realize that in my life. But John realized that. John was willing to give himself up for Christ in order that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would be bodily lifted up on high. If I lose myself in Christ, Christ will be lifted up. If we as a body of Christ will give ourselves over to Christ, surrender to Him bodily, completely, everything that we have, Jesus Christ will be lifted up on high. And we know the word says, if He lifted up on high, He will draw all men unto Him. That Christ will draw all men unto Him. People will become saved. People's lives will be changed. And people will know who and what they are. In losing Christ, John found his life. Every Christian knows about John the Baptist. You talk about John, they know who he is. They know what he did. And then they know exactly what his job was. And we know about John the Baptist only because he gave up his place. He was the first fiddle. He said, let me rather go to give up my position as a main person, main minister, and then become the second fiddle. Give up my position for Christ. You see, he was willing to give up his place so Jesus might be known. So when the people immediately turned from John, and they turned towards Christ. And the thing that we must understand here is that if Jesus had not been the Christ, then how would we have known about John the Baptist? He would have been just one of the characters in the Bible. He might not even have been mentioned. But the reason why John gave himself up, because he gave himself up, his name is written in the Bible. His name was honored because of what he did. And that is the main thing that happened, because he was willing to play second fiddle known to Jesus, that Jesus would be known and honored and be given glory. Would it be worth anything playing second fiddle, losing your life in Jesus, to commend your life to his way, or stand before God on the final day? Before we despair of not worthy of such a word, we may carefully note the closing of Luke 7 verse 28. Yet he who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. If we are the least in the kingdom, we realize that we are not the main person. We are here to serve. We are here to love one another. We are here to stand. If someone comes in, we must rather come to a point and step back and say, come and do what God's going to do for you. Jesus' ministry revolves about the one theme of servitude. Nothing goes more against the grain of society than becoming a servant. Every man wants to rule. They want to reign. They want to move in their business. They want to do what they have to do. People struggle with each other to find the next position. There's always in business. There's people standing upon one another's necks. People pushing one another, backbiting. They're trying to destroy one another to get to that main position at the top of the company, in business, in any way. Jesus said his people must not engage in this type of behavior. But he says you will find joy when you're in the service of a servant. You will find joy when you can serve your brothers and your sisters. You can find joy when you're there to do the work that other people don't want to do. You know, sometimes it's very hard to do God's will. Because when we do God's will, God takes you from here and he puts you there. And we can't understand why, but God, I was busy here. I was doing great work here. I was excelling in the work. But God's got another plan to put you there. He puts you in a place where you have to be. And I thought to myself, Lord, If I've got to fit into your plan, to me it's like a puzzle. You know these big puzzles that we build? Each little piece that comes in, each piece has got its place in the puzzle. So each one of us have our place in God's kingdom, in God's work. What God wants for your life, he's got a place to put you. And so many times we find that we might not want to be in that little corner. We don't want to sit right on that side, but I would like to be there where people can see me. And people can notice who I am and what I am. You know, so many times I could play second fiddle to Jesus and excel in what I'm doing. But so many times I don't want to be second fiddle to other people. Because I find the guy that they put in the first position might be not the guy that's got all the things that I need, that I needed in the job. We might find out, but he's frail, he's not even as good as I am. You know, I've got the experience, I've got the know-how, I know how to do it. But God puts another man into the first fiddle. And he said, you've got to step down and become a second fiddle, or a third fiddle, even a fourth fiddle. But you can find grace to play second fiddle if you're willing to look at God's plan in your life in a situation. You can have a chance in your life to be able to know that what you do will be done for the glory of God. We must be willing to see God's plan in our life. Forget what I want. What does God want? You know, my minister looked at this, I felt so bad, I felt so guilty because I've been studying and all my life I've been studying and doing research and doing all that. And I got my doctorate. And even while I was still waiting for a doctorate to be approved, I finished the dissertation for my second doctorate. And I got my doctorate and it's as if I just put the stuff down and I had time to sit down and look at myself. And I spoke to my daughter Tanya in the UK and she said, Dad, I don't mind you getting another doctorate. But I've just asked you one question. Will that next second doctorate bring food on the table? And I said, phew, now I've got to think. And I sat and I said, Lord, this is it. And I took it and I put it on the shelf because it's not important anymore. What's important for me and must be important for you is where do I fit in the plan of God? It's not titles, it's not situations, it's not what they call you. But it's where are you in the plan of God? Where are you where God wants to put you? Because you might think you are just a main peanut, but if you step down and humble yourself in the sight of God, if you humble yourself in the ministry, then God can use you to excel in the position he puts you in. I read this article about this evangelist. He'd gone through some rugged terrain and before he became an evangelist. And it hasn't been easy for him, a pastor of his own church. So God moved him to a ministry of church-to-church evangelism. After some years as an evangelist, he was able to report back on his early experience that he undertook. He said that God taught him things that he would never have known in any other way. He felt that his experience had been taught him compassion and a love for people, enabling him to minister to churches where there's been problems and situations that are not right. You see, the whole thing about the story is not in itself remarkable, but what would you say is remarkable here? Is that kind of statement comes from different Christians in their Christian life, that God has taken them from one position and placed them somewhere else, where they could excel and be taught what the ministry and what God is all about. Again and again, as they look back onto the period of where they've been of their lives, they realize that they who trust in Him wholly will find Him wholly. They will trust in God. They came to the point where they had to put their pride down on the ground and say, Lord, I will accept the position you put me in, that God will lift them up and excel and make them worthy to the call and the work that God has called him to do. When we understand God's plans, we can accept the role that we have been given. Whether it be the first violin, the second violin, the third violin, the fourth violin, or this guy sitting there in the corner playing his violin. Nobody sees him. Nobody knows about him. But he sits there and he plays his violin, the sixth violin, to the best of his ability. And he excels in what he is doing. And when he plays his part in what he does, then what happens is that the whole orchestra becomes a one movement of music. Because each guy been put in the positions that they are, put in where they have to be, and they're excelling where they have to be. The orchestra works and it's perfect. And the people will just hear the beautiful music, they hear the violins, they hear the flutes, they hear the drums, and everything just brings up that excellent, excellent musical sound. We find that we are responsible to God in the place that He has put us. So we can't be effective doing the tasks appropriate to that opportunity. In our life, let us say, God, where do you want to put me? Where do I fit into your position? Where do I fit into your plans? And when God takes you from a higher position and puts you in a lower position, it's not because He doesn't like us. It's not because we failed. But God wants to put you there so you can excel and uplift the guy next to you that's in a higher position than you are. Before I conclude, I'd like to play a music piece for you. Just to bring in what I've tried to explain to you tonight. Just wait for the piece to come through then. Unfortunately, it was not the first one, it's the second one. So, and it's strange that you chose the second one because I'm ministering about second fiddle. Play your part. I actually wanted the whole orchestra, but that's the closest I could get. If you play second fiddle, if you play in the position God puts you into, understand one thing, there's none too great or too small in God's service. The main thing He's concerned about is your and my faithfulness and the work that He gives us to do. Doesn't matter what God gives us. When I was in the previous ministry, each one of us had a department that we had to be in charge over. And I had to, Lorraine and I had to come in early in the morning before everybody, we had to wash the toilets. See that the toilets are clean, wash clean the toilets. We were there in town by the library, the church where that care center is now. I had to sweep the pavements, I had to sweep the roads and clean everything. That was my work. Before the people came forth. When they came, everything was clean. Everything was beautiful. But the thing I'm trying to say is you've got to be willing to be able to function in the position that God puts you in for God to be excelled. It doesn't make me any better. But one thing that teaches you a servant to that you are important for God. God cares about you. He wants you to be great in His kingdom. And if you want to be great, we've got to be willing to become a servant, to serve. And that is what it's all about. To serve one another, to serve the people outside, to serve in your position you have. By God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can easily play second fiddle. When we know what our plan, our purpose is, and the will of God, I don't care, I can play fifth fiddle. It doesn't bother me. As long as I know that is where God has put me. And that is where God expects me to excel in the position He puts me in. Because when I play the second fiddle, and I play well on what I'm doing, then we get the music we got tonight. Then the whole harmonize of the whole orchestra sounds perfect. In the body of Christ, if I excel in the work I've been given to do, if I excel in the work that God has given me to do, and I do the perfect job, the body of Christ functions properly. The body of Christ will not suffer loss. There won't be positions in the body of Christ that we lack. Each one will be perfect in the position that God gives him. And when we do that, and the church, like the orchestra, works perfect, then people will know, the entire world will know, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, that He has come to take away the sins of the world. That He says, no matter what, if you want to play second fiddle, I will use you and I will exalt the work that you want to do. Amen. Just pray. Lord, we thank you that tonight we've heard your word, that like John the Baptist, stepping down and playing second fiddle to you, help us, Lord, that in our areas of ministry, wherever you put us, that we will play second fiddle, fourth fiddle, fifth fiddle, Lord. But what we will do is to do it to glorify you, to uplift your name. And I pray that tonight, as each one of us have heard your word, that we will take it to heart and say, Lord, where do I fit in your plan and your purpose? Where do I fit where you want me to be? And that I may excel in that place, Lord, that I know one day when I stand before you, you will say, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over little things, and I will make you ruler over many. And we thank you tonight, Father God. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.